tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Do you love rock and roll? Then tune in to KBOO every Friday afternoon at 3 for the Roots of Rock and Roll. Join 45-year host Dale Farr, along with Mike Fisher and Dave Johnson, as they feature music from their collection of hits, near hits, and rare treasures from the first 70 years of rock and roll, only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Maybe bring it up just a bit. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing. Maybe just a little more. Testing 1, 2, 3.
I wonder if that's...
Anchor. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Where do you try to keep it at?
I try to keep it way up here, but it's like... Testing 1, 2, 3. Yeah, kind of in that range.
Okay, so I'm
testing
really
1, 2, 3. Somewhere around 6, like somewhere between 6 and 3.
Which I think is ironic, because I talk to a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. I understand. I go through the same thing. There we go. Okay, testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, why don't we do you now?
Well, that's fun. We're okay. How's that? Do I need to get in closer?
No, you're good.
I don't know. When I get going, I get louder, but for the most part,
yeah, no,
I guess
you're
this
good.
Is about where it is.
Yeah, we're both good. Okay, well, great. Why don't we get started then? You ready?
No.
No? Okay, that's all
no.
right.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever done radio, and so I'm
well, this is all
I got the jitters.
This is all pre-recorded.
So. I know.
Yeah. Oh. How do I say your name?
Daphne.
Daphne.
Lane,
do you want your whole name or just your first name?
I don't care. Okay. My name's at, well, it's fine.
And what's the name of your podcast?
Transplaining,
great, okay. Daphne Lane, Transplaining, okay. Great, you ready? We'll just jump into it.
Okay, I'm ready, whatever. I mean, it's going to be what it is.
You've done this for...
It's going to be what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to totally screw all this up.
No, it would be great. Just a little bit. Okay. Good evening. You're listening to Transpositive here on KBOO Community Radio. Today we're talking with Daphne Lane, who is the producer of the podcast Transplaining. Daphne, welcome to Transpositive.
Thank you. This is the first time on the radio, so this will be interesting.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, it's just so great having you here. We met at the Pride Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is so cool. Somebody who understands my world.
Yeah. I mean, I went down there hoping to find people.
Yeah.
You were at a booth. I don't remember if it was for the radio. It wasn't for the radio.
It was for my synagogue.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I think, well, we may do a booth at Pride this year upcoming. I don't know. I'm gonna ask the board if they would consider it.
Maybe I'll split one with you guys.
It's been a while. Yeah. Maybe we could do a shared. That would be great. Maybe we could do a shared table.
That would be fun. I'd like that.
So, Daphne, I'm not sure where to start. There's so many places to start, but why don't we start by, first of all, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us about who you are.
Oh, dear. My story has so much awful with it, but yeah, we'll tell what I can. I grew up in Arizona in a pretty highly religious family. Are you wanting what kind of story are you looking for? Just
I would take any story you've got.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what.
We have an hour.
Well, around 8, I believe, is when the movie Twister came out. If you remember that movie,
Twister, yeah.
Yeah, and the main girl there, her name was Jo, and for the life of me, I can't remember her name right now. Helen Hunt, right? And I watched the movie, and that was the first time that I can remember, anyways, just going, "Oh my God!" Like, I want to be her. She's gorgeous, and I just, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a crush, but it was more than just crush. It was, I want to be her, you know.
Interesting.
And for the most part, that kind of got put aside until 7th grade. Pirates of the Caribbean came out, and I'm blinking on names again, but they go and they cinch up the corset, right? And when they cinched it up, I go, oh, you know, all the girls are kind of freaking out, you know, oh yeah. And I turn around, try to go, well, what is this, what's going on? And they go, it's a corset. And I'm like, what's a corset? And so they explained it to me, and I go, I don't quite understand what's happening right now, but I need those, you know. So I got about 20 now. But that's kind of the first time that I realized that something's going on, and I just kind of thought I was a freak, you know.
Yeah.
And I kept a lot of that to myself throughout the next couple of years. I grew up in the Mormon religion, okay, and so when I turned 19, I went on a mission, you know, name tag and all. Went out to Scotland and stayed there for a couple of years.
Oh, cool. I love Scotland.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun because you talk to people and everyone goes, oh, I have heritage from Scotland. I'm like, everybody has heritage from Scotland.
Right.
Yeah. So I was there, and it was really interesting. There was this lady there, and all the other missionaries would say, hey, this lady has like the most unique spiritual gift. And you're thinking, oh yeah, gift of tongues or prophet, you know, people, the same gifts that everybody talks about, you know?
Yeah.
And so I go over there one day to go meet her, and the missionary kind of looks at me, winks a little bit, and he goes, oh, I'm going to go use the bathroom, you know? And he goes, leaves me alone there. I go sit down on the couch, just kind of being awkward. I don't know who this lady is. And I know the rumors. And the first thing she says is, Elder, you like to cross dress. And I go, what? Like, how does this lady even know this? You know, and right. it was wild. Anyway, fast forward a year, I got the opportunity to cross dress with her, and it was a unique experience, to say the least. And I looked in the mirror after she finished my makeup and everything. My hair was short, and I didn't care for that. But when I looked in the mirror, there was this beautiful woman looking back at me, and I go, oh my God, it's her, you know?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And so I came home, I got in so much trouble.
Oh, no.
Over that. Like,
oh,
that was.
Goodness. Well, and somebody heard about it then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone heard about it. And that's where I really put together all the pieces and went, oh, I know what's happening now. I know what's going on inside me. And that is not the place to figure out that kind of thing, you know? And,
yeah.
And so I got in so much trouble. I ended up coming back to the state. I came back to the States and got put into conversion therapy.
Oh, no.
And, like, yeah, it
you
anyway,
even
I had.
Though, yeah.
Right. So, I don't know, long story short, as far as that went, I had a choice of transition or try to stick with the church. And, you know, well, church is what you know and whatnot. So, I decided to stick with the church and I pushed that down.
Sure.
Went through, you know, I got married a year later. My ex knew that I was trans. I explained it to her when we were dating and she was okay with that. And, went through the next 11 years married. During that time, I worked up into being an electrician, and ended up...
Good trade.
Yeah, it is a good trade, and it fit me well at the time. I really enjoyed it, and I was good at it, you know, and I got to the point that I was building and renovating temples for the Mormon church.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really unique experience, and your work has to be just so precise to get into that... not trade, but into that area specifically, you know? And I was doing these things, and one day I flew out to Detroit to go work on one out there. And while we're there, there's a cross-dressing store that I knew about from 10 years previous when I was making a decision whether or not I go to church or transition, right? Mm-hmm. And this store was special was because they were the first place I found that had the silicone chest, you know, where you could right. wear get the silicone sure. individuals, you know. And so I went into the shop, and because I had promised myself I would, I go into the shop, and by the end of that I had bought a bra and I brought it home, you know, and I was okay. so excited, and I show it to my wife at the time, and she goes, "You really just need to transition. This is who you are." Yeah, I started therapy and kind of uh-huh. worked through some of that, and I was trying to find names that fit well for me, and just nothing was sticking. I was trying, you know, Christine and Samantha, and I don't know, all these different names, and nothing was fitting. And so I told her, I was like, I'm going to try this name now, see what you think. And she goes, "I just don't see you as any of these names you're picking." And I go, "Well, what do you see me as?" And she goes, I don't know. And I go, no, you don't get to sit here and you know, say no to all these names if you're not going to suggest something. And she goes, "I don't know, maybe Daphne or something." And that's kind of how that came about. And yeah, now I'm Daphne. Nice. And it fits really well.
So your wife helped you with your name.
She did. That's she did. So cool. And I had another friend helped me out with the last name, and that was that.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah, it was interesting how that all worked out.
Yeah, neat. Are you and your wife still?
We are not. Yeah. We are not.
Are you friends?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes. So it was an amicable divorce, you know, and we were just going two separate ways. She knew that this is who I was and that I needed to transition, and she was going her own direction as well, so we just decided it was time to separate.
Oh, great. That's great that you're still friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So what happened after you chose your name? What
Well, the separation happened. Yeah. I went ahead and moved out, went back up to Idaho where my company was. When they found out I was trans, I got demoted from being a superintendent and project manager. I got demoted down to being a laborer again, and I had to deal with the fallout from that with the other guys that were there, you know, anything but work with me, right? They'd stick me in the far room down in the far building down in the basement so they didn't have to see me.
Yeah.
There was a lot that happened. I ended up losing my job and career over transitioning, and I lost my religion and belief system and identity, family, friends, community. I lost everything, and I just felt like I had this massive hole left inside me, you know? I was just alone.
Right. You could still be an electrician.
I could have been. There was other factors behind it that ended up stopping that, and I just turned around and said, "You know what? This just isn't me anymore. Sure. I don't want to be this big, bulky, strong
it's pretty much
person. I just wanted to be me." And so I decided that just didn't fit me anymore. Anyway, I'd be looking around anything for information about what it is to be trans, what it means to be trans, how do you work towards the goals that you have, how do you justify what you're feeling inside, a lot of these different things, and I just felt like there's this giant hole inside and there was nothing left to fill it, and no information available, and a bunch of not so great events happened after that, and I've ended up in the hospital a lot. And anyway, one of the times I was in the hospital a couple months ago, I was in there for a couple weeks, and while I was in there, I listened to a podcast about finding your purpose and joy in life, and I think it was the Mel Robbins podcast. Anyway, I was listening to it about finding joy and purpose in life, and by the time I finished, I go, "You know what? I'm going to make a podcast, and I'm going to provide a space for trans people to come tell their story, for allies to come in and explain how and why they choose to be an ally towards the community. We're going to bring in subject experts from all these different fields, whether it be legal, medical, or psychiatry. psychological, uh-huh. you know, religious, and all these different areas. We're going to bring in experts, and instead of me coming in and saying this is what it means to be trans, I'm gonna turn around and let them explain why things are the way they are, why people feel the way they feel, you know. And it's interesting because I personally don't even identify as trans, just female, and for me, trans is just the transition section right, of it, right?
Yeah.
So,
boy, there's a whole show right there.
There is, and it's put me in what I feel is an awkward position because now I have this podcast where I'm clearly outing myself as you know, here I am, the face of things trans.
Right.
When I don't even feel that's who I am, but I feel strongly that a space is needed for people to hear the message and feel support. You know, the slogan for the podcast is welcome to the family, you know, and so many people, when they walk out, they lose their family. Yeah. I lost mine.
Yeah.
And so we're building a family.
Right. Well, you know, it used to be back in the day that when you transitioned, it was a pretty private kind of affair. And the idea was that you transitioned from one gender as they were understood at that time to the other. So you basically, you know, transgender wasn't so much of a word. I mean, it was a way of explaining the process, but the process was you really became female and you lived your life female and everything about you was female. So,
right.
But at some point it changed and it became like you transitioned to transgender. I mean, a lot of people think that.
A lot of people, I don't know if it's transition to transgender. A lot of people, transgender is their identity and they're really happy with that. Yeah. And for some people, trans is just the transition and it just depends on what your journey is.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about having so much fluidity in terms of how other people see gender?
What do you mean?
How does that feel for you?
I'm not.
Well, so you were saying that you transition, like for you, it's a little uncomfortable to be transgender because you transitioned to female.
Okay.
Right? Is that what you said?
No, it's uncomfortable because I don't identify as trans.
Right.
And so now and so now putting myself out there as the face of things trans now puts that label on you.
Right. So you just how do you identify?
Just female.
Right, just female.
Yeah.
But you have a show called Transplaining.
Yeah.
Right.
and I don't know. Since the topics that we're delving into are about all things trans, that seemed like a really fitting name for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun because like neither me, I just don't identify as trans.
Right. So does it bother you then if somebody says that you're transgender?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah,
I understand. I had an experience in the bar the other day where I was getting ready to walk out and, you know, I had my drink. I'm walking up to the bartender to go give him the glass, you know, and as I'm walking out, there's a trans person there and she goes, "Trans bees," you know, and clinks glasses with me. And I go, "What are you talking about?"
Right.
And she goes, "Oh, we're both trans, aren't we?" And I go, "No," you know, and I felt like that was fair because that's not my identity, you know, it's just the process for me.
Right. Yeah. Wow, great. So you decided to start this show, and that was part of something that you looked at while you were just taking some time off. And
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's great. And so you started your show, and so tell us about your show.
That's kind of, I did a little bit. That's kind of the summary of it is we are bringing in these experts. We brought in, there was this wonderful lady, over in, St. John's. She has a shop there. Blooming Transformations? Anyway, I'm going to feel so bad if that's not what it's called. That's okay. Anyway, she has this nice shop there. It's on the corner, catty corner from the Burgerville right there. And, you know, her she's a beautician, works with hair and all these different services for trans people, you know. And she specializes in trans people, helping them get affirming haircuts and helping them get to see who they are, you know, and lessons to learn how to do your hair and how to do makeup. So she was the first one. She was so gracious to come on the podcast and put herself out there as the first person, you know, and that was wonderful. Since then, we had some social workers come on. A psychiatrist came on and talked with us about, you know, they opened up the DSM-5 and explained, here's why trans people fit in here, and here's what the things actually mean, and no, it's not some psychological disease, you know.
Right.
And so they went and explained all of that. We had 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had the nation's leading medical researcher on internal medicine come on the podcast, and she broke down the genetics behind sex and how it's determined, and it was fascinating to learn. She's intersex herself, and you know, she's, I think this week she's at Harvard doing a dissertation there about what she's doing. Like, I mean, she's well known for what she does, and she sat there and broke it down and explained how trans people and more so intersex people, how that happens and how sex is a spectrum on its own. And it was fascinating to listen to. Coming forward in the future, I just scheduled the lady that designed the trans flag. She's going to be coming on the podcast. She just moved out to Costa Rica, but she's going to come on the podcast.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there's another lady that was at Stonewall, and I'm in talks right now trying to get her scheduled. They've agreed to come on. I'm just working out a date with them right now.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it's cool. It's interesting to me that it's blown up the way that it has, because I really thought it was going to be just a bunch of, I don't mean to say just, but I thought it was going to be a bunch of trans people coming on, sharing their stories, and over time it would start to build some kind of following, and then maybe we could get a specialist or two. But the amount of specialists that just agreed right off the bat, yeah, we'll come on. And that's when I met you, was at Pride here, yeah, in Portland. You know, I went there specifically with the purpose of lining people up for the show. And
great.
Yeah.
You were doing marketing, you were like promoting the show, letting everybody know what you do.
Yeah.
And you had a really clear message. I mean, I was really impressed.
Oh, thank you. I believe strongly in it. So it's, yeah. I really needed that when I came out. And to my knowledge, that podcast, or not podcast, but that message in a single space still doesn't exist.
It's so needed. Now tell us, where can we find your podcast?
We are on all the socials. So whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, we are on all of them. Although, to be totally transparent, my Instagram and TikTok are not totally up to date. I've struggled having all the time to make all the reels to be putting on there.
Are you on any pod feeds?
We are also on like Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Oh, great.
Okay. Yeah, we're on all of them. You can just search for Transplaining, and we're the first ones that pop up.
Great. And how do you spell
YouTube?
That? How do you spell it?
TransPlaining.
Okay,
Transplaining. Yeah, kind of like, yeah, mansplaining, but it's transplaining. See how, right, I just transplained that?
Yeah.
or you can go to transplainingpodcast.com. You can reach all of us there. There is a contact us section on there, so if somebody wants to reach out, they can reach, they can send a message. I do see all the emails, and so if there's a trans person that wants to come on and share their story, they are welcome to. Or an ally even. I've got a few allies that have came on and talked. Last week we had a nurse come and talk with us about how she's affirming in her practice as a nurse, you know. And if you have a message to share with the trans community, we're here for it.
Oh, great. I mean, that's so exciting. There's not a lot of trans podcasters, and so
there's not,
you know, I mean, there's shows you can find if you do some good searches on transgender issues, but there's not a lot of podcasts that are actually produced by transgender people that are really focused on,
and for trans people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find several that are by trans people, but they don't really cover anything about this.
Yeah.
It's just a market that's not even touched.
Yeah.
So yeah, the voices need to be out there.
Now there was a podcast. It was almost 20 years ago. Maybe 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago, and it was produced out of San Francisco.
Okay.
And it was these two trans women. And as far as I know, it was the first, and I've got it in my archives. I'll have to find it somewhere. But it was the first podcast I think I'd ever seen that was produced by trans people. And it was really good. It ran for about 3 years. And I have to say, like, I mean, something you may be doing, you may not be aware of it, or maybe you are aware of it, but, you know, podcasts are actually so, so important for people who are in the process of transitioning.
Or closeted, or yes, whatever it is. They can plug it in just like it's music, right, and still get what they need.
Talk about it.
I mean, so when I was deconstructing Mormonism, I found a podcast called Mormon Stories.
I love that one. I've heard that one.
Yeah, it's great. It's phenomenal. And it was more than just, we're going to come interview people that left the Mormon Church. It was, let's dig into the science, you know, and let's look at the science as compared to Mormonism. Let's go through the stories and the scriptures, and we're going to break down, what do these things actually mean? What actually happened at that time? Let's look at the cultural differences, you know, and they break it all down and really look at facts behind it. And as the more I listen to it, the more I go, oh my gosh, there's so much lying and deceit. And mind you, this is my own thing. I'm not here to crap on anybody's beliefs or anything, but this is just what I personally was discovering. And so as I went through, it helped me deconstruct, but that was where I really found podcasts made a massive difference for me. And so when I started this one, I built it on the same format. It wasn't just going to be, we're just going to come let people crap on it. We're going to come in and we're really going to let truth speak.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, you're setting a foundation for a really good media source, something that people can rely on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. If people can pass memes on Facebook and they can share whatever biology they learned in sixth grade, and people can, you know, the Punnett squares and that stuff, and people can have all these arguments and conversations back forth, but what really matters is what is actually happening. What, you know, it's not about people's opinions in this case. Now it's about science and fact, and we're going to go through and dispel all the myths.
Yeah. So what does it take to start a podcast? I mean,
work.
Oh, it's work. Okay.
It's so much work.
Yeah.
I had the podcast up and running in about 2 weeks. Uh-huh. I started off with the website and built a website around it. And I used to do broadcasting for a women's professional football team down in Salem, the Capital Pioneers.
Oh, cool. Right? So you have some media experience.
Well, that's where I learned how to talk.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and so I did that for 2 years with them, and by the end of the second year, I had built up a complete audio-visual system. And so I had this system, I knew how to run it, and I go, well, I have it. I have this idea for a podcast, and now we just got to get people. So we went, printed out a bunch of cards, and I signed up accounts. I signed up with way more accounts online than I ever needed. Now I think I have 3 accounts now, one for the website, one for Buzzsprout, which does all my shipping out to the different forms of media, and then one for this online store, you know, and that's it. That's all I use. And yeah.
Oh, cool. And you have an online store too.
We're building one. Yay. There's a link on there for it. Right now I have some stickers and I think some water bottles, and that's pretty much it. But I'm great. In the process of building one. Yeah.
Oh, great. I can't wait to check that out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The biggest amount of work was getting people to line up, and you know, it takes so much work.
Yeah.
This week, tomorrow, I'm interviewing a lady that's running for governor of Oregon. And so, I don't know.
Who?
Brittany Jones, her TikTok is like BJ for Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. So she's coming on the podcast to come talk about how to support how her platform supports trans people. But like,
wow,
she was one of the,
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found her on TikTok and I just sent a TikTok message, said, "Hey, I got this thing I'm trying to start. Would you be willing to come on?" And her PR team wrote me and go, "She's looking to get the word out." And I go, "Well, are you sure? Because like, I haven't even recorded the first episode."
Yeah.
And they were so willing to come on and they were just wonderful. And that really made me feel empowered, I guess, confident anyway, to reach out to people that I really didn't think would ever come on the podcast. And mm-hmm. so I've been reaching out bigger and bigger and and the amount of people.
Sarah McBride. Have you tried Sarah McBride?
I tried Sarah McBride, Elon Musk's daughter. I wrote out to her.
Ooh, good.
I wrote out to the pastor that did the prayer at Trump's inauguration where she was saying trans people are really scared.
That's great.
Yeah. I've been reaching out to really big names.
How about that CMJ person, the one who was detained by ICE?
Not yet.
Yeah.
There was
although it probably would be a little risky for her right now.
It might be. I've reached out to a bunch of service members that have been affected
by this.
Yeah. Because, I mean, these events are happening in real time. And so, let's bring in these people and talk about it. There was SJ, the non-binary person that hung the trans flag on Yosemite Park, you know, and
ooh,
she got fired.
Good.
She is coming on the podcast. I have her scheduled in a couple weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You're going to have a really good buzz with your show. You already do.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
We've been listened to in 10 different countries at this point, and it's growing.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a project of passion, but at the same time, like, it's a lot of work, and I very much take it as this is my first job, and anything else comes after that.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you have both a really good attitude about it, and you're making opportunities for yourself.
Yeah, well, people need to hear it. It's such an important message.
You're filling a space that really needs to be filled. I mean, I remember when Erin Reed started.
I've reached
really
out to her too.
Pushing, when she really started pushing Erin in the Morning, and you know, there was a space there. Erin saw it. For transgender journalism.
Like
a national platform.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's always been different people, different, you know, you can find stories, but Erin kind of understood how to do this on a national level and really develop a platform for herself.
Yeah.
And she did it very successfully.
Very.
I mean, I don't agree with her criticisms about Sarah McBride. I have to be honest. I think Sarah McBride is walking the right line, the line she needs to walk in order to both serve as a Delaware representative, because she's a congressperson and her first role and her first duty is to her constituents. It's not about her identity. And
I'm
really
sure she's doing the best she can.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it sounds like we may or may not disagree, may or may not agree on that. But I that's the only issue that I've had with Erin, because Erin went and she used her platform to publicly criticize Sarah McBride. And I felt like that was an overstep. And that's the only time that I felt uncomfortable with Erin's production. Besides that, including right now, Erin is just knocking it out of the ballpark.
She really is.
Covering everything that's going on right now with the community. And I'm so, so impressed with it. Now, that does bring up an issue, because it sounds like you're on your way to becoming kind of a national platform, or a little bit like Erin Reed.
I'm trying to.
So my concern, one of the things I'm curious about, because I'm just, you know, I host this local show. We're community radio, which is really different. I mean, in some ways, like, my identity is really rooted in KABU. It's rooted right here in Portland with, like, this whole kind of eclectic leftist-leaning community. So it's like the values that we have here at KABU, they're not leftist per se, but they're very much about grassroots community media, about lifting up underserved voices.
Yeah.
And so, like, we fall into a very specific mission, and that's kind of like where my show is. But one of the things, you know, that I'm it kind of dovetails on what I was just talking about with this issue with Aaron Reed and Sarah McBride.
Yeah.
How as you continue to gain more and more of a national following, how will you walk the fine line between, let me put it this way. Are you a journalist? Do you consider yourself a journalist?
Oh, okay. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, then it's not
this
a problem.
Isn't really ironically, I never felt like this was my forte, journalism and that stuff.
Okay.
What, it started off just with the broadcasting for the football team, and I learned I can talk and be able to keep that going. And so I don't really consider myself a journalist.
Okay.
I've been told that my speech and writing is very... See, here's me proving I'm not a journalist. I'm like, well done.
No.
I mean, you are
well spoken. You are a journalist in a way because I understand what you're saying. I mean, because, what I'm trying to get at is there are places where national people who kind of find a niche in social media, like, become platformers.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, like, as you begin to approach that place, you know, as you begin to approach the place of really kind of being a platformer in the way that, like, for instance, Aaron Reed has.
Right.
How are you going to handle that responsibility? I mean, what if there's something that you don't agree with? But
can you give me some kind of example?
Well, I just did. Yeah. I mean, Sarah McBride.
It's not that I don't agree.
Yeah.
I try to stay as neutral as I can.
Uh-huh.
I try to stay as neutral. People are going to have their feelings about the different things. And I give space for people to have the feelings they feel. Religion would be another example, right? I have my own personal beliefs and I'm pretty strong in those beliefs, but I'm also not here to destroy anybody's beliefs. There are trans people that want to keep religion in their life and there are trans people that want to leave. And so I'm providing a platform for both, you know, allowing them to... I'm bringing in pastors and different faiths. I'm bringing people in to discuss how they can stay in that religion and find peace between being trans and those beliefs. Or if they're choosing to leave, I'm bringing in pastors to talk about what's the best way to do it while providing the least amount of damage to both you and your relationships. And so I try to stay as neutral as I can on a lot of topics.
Would you have a detransitioner on their show?
I've actually reached out to one,
uh-huh.
But I'm cautious about it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of trans people that are going to be in states of fragility, you know, that are on here, and I'm not here to destroy that.
Yeah.
There is a detransitioner that I found, though, that goes, I don't hate the trans community. I have nothing against it. However, it just wasn't for me.
Right.
And so I reached out to them saying, hey, I would be willing to have you on the podcast and listen to your story, but I proceed cautiously with that because I'm not here to cause harm to people.
Yeah.
There was the unfortunate event that happened over the weekend, right? People can believe what they want to believe about it.
Yeah.
I also hold very strongly that I'm here to support a community and I'm not going to allow people to go out harming a community, whether it's with transphobia, homophobia, racism, sexism, ageism, whatever it is,
right.
I'm not here to hurt people's communities. I'm here to build them up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah. I'm just wondering, I think that pretty much covers that. I mean, I think that we're in a really tense time right now.
Very.
That's part of why I'm talking about this, because I mean, you know, I've been doing community media for 35 years.
Right.
And I've never seen anything quite like this. I mean, I've seen a couple of times that are sort of close to this. I remember in 2003, at the beginning of the Iraq War, that there was a time similar to this in terms of how the media narrative shifted so, so drastically in the interest of nationalism.
Right.
But, like, we're not really at war with anyone right now. But it seems like the current administration is trying to declare war on us.
I mean, there's
a community.
Yeah, there was two people, two senators,
to U.S. House members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just yesterday.
That we should be institutionalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's becoming very hostile towards trans people for sure.
Yeah, right, right. And so because it's such a, it's kind of an edgy time right now. It's also a time when like your voice as a podcaster, especially as you approach this national platform that it seems like you're going towards really quickly, will be very influential. And I just wonder how will you handle that responsibility?
I'm scared.
Yeah. And I just say this. I mean, I'm not like predicting the future. I'm not like this fortune teller or person from Scotland. I'm just looking at what you're telling me. And I mean, I know when somebody has got it in the bag. And you do. I mean, you're doing all of the things that you need to do. And I listen to a lot of podcasts too. I mean, you're doing all of the things that you need to do to do this work, to become this person.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how will you handle that responsibility?
It feels like a lot. It feels like a lot. I was talking to my, I've talked to quite a few different people about it. Yeah. And I said, not only do I feel almost uncomfortable being in the spotlight as a representative of all things trans, but especially with how hostile it is, it's scary to put your name out there right now and say, here's me, come find me.
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
Well, I was talking about it with my therapist, because I get some really nice messages and some really awful messages, right? But one of the messages that I got was, oh my God, you've given me a reason to live again. Mm-hmm. And it feels like there's so much pressure when you get messages like that. People are depending on you and you feel like you have to perform, you know, because of that. And I told that to my therapist and she turned around and said, people aren't depending on you to perform. They're depending on you to be you.
Right.
And so I think in terms of this growing into a national platform, people are just needing me to be me, and I'll do that to the best of my ability.
Uh-huh. That's great. Yeah. What would you like to do that you haven't done so far?
As far as the podcast is concerned?
Yeah, as far as the podcast.
I would love to get more reels out there and the shorts, because that was how I found Mormon Stories, was through the shorts.
Now explain that to our audience in case they don't
know
what you're
talking about. Well, shorts is an item of clothing and you can wear them.
That's true.
So Facebook and Instagram and then TikTok, you know, they have 30-second to 3-minute reels that you can watch and just catch little sections that.
Right.
So as far as the podcast is concerned, it could be a moment where someone said something that was just really influential and you go, hey, this is going to help a lot of people. And all they don't need to listen to that 30-minute to hour-long conversation. We can still impact their lives in 3 minutes. And so I would like to have that become a bigger era. At some point, I think it would be great to have my own studio and be able to run with that, turn this into a full-time job.
What do you think it takes to make this into a full-time job? Is it the number of followers? Do you need to have a sponsor?
I would love to have sponsors.
A network.
I would love to have sponsors. Mm-hmm. That would be great. Honestly, the financial side's the biggest part. If I can figure out the financial side of it, then yeah, I can do this as a full-time job, because there's so much more than just a podcast that you can make with it. Mm-hmm. There is the grassroots efforts, right? So you can be out there talking with politicians and trying to create change. You can be out there hosting events and making you know, such as going to the Pride events and having a platform there. And how great would it be to grow this into an event or a movement where you go across the country to all the major Pride events and have a booth there and really spread that, hey guys, we're here and we're here to support you and we're a family.
You could definitely go on a tour. I mean, I know a lot of podcasters, like one of my favorite podcasts is My Favorite Murder, which
nice.
I probably shouldn't like it so much, but I do. And they're doing their tour again now. I think they're coming to Portland in October. I think this will air in October. But you know, and I know a lot of podcasters that do that. I mean, if you develop enough of a following, that's definitely something you could do.
Yeah, I mean, and that would be great to have these recently I discovered that there's I don't know if symposium's the right word or not, but events, you know, where people can go in there and people buy tickets, you know, and they bring in 7 or 8 speakers over 3 days to come in and talk about it. And I would love to go to one event like that and share, hey, here's some other ways you can be supported. And let me share what I've learned throughout this process and let me show the support. I think that would be wonderful. Yeah. And I think that would be really similar to traveling on the road like that.
So I'm going to do a few questions now. We're getting kind of near the end of the show, but not quite.
Yeah.
And so I want to like do a few more challenging
apples
conversations. That, yeah. That I think are really, I mean, they're things that we're all sort of thinking about right now.
Okay.
So this attack on trans kids that's been going on, 26 state legislatures around the country.
Yes.
Have passed legislation specifically targeting trans kids. So what can we do as a community to reverse this trend? I mean, how do you feel about the attack right now on transgender kids? And what can you do to change this narrative?
Fear is based on ignorance, and the way to combat fear is to educate people. So the first thing that people can do is educate themselves in these subjects. Episode 3, we brought in the psychologist, psychiatrist. Anyway, we brought them in and we asked them this specific question about, hey, are trans kids are being affected by puberty blockers? And he goes, no. And I said, how so? And he goes and says, this has been a method that have been used to treat kids all the dating back to the 60s for various different conditions and ailments, whether it is somebody that has started puberty too soon and they're not quite in a position that they need to be doing that, right? And these things have been used and they have a long-standing track of being known to not affect kids in these ways. So I think the first thing we need to do for most trans issues, including this one, is we need to learn and educate ourselves and really look at the science behind these things and not just pass out memes. Let's look at what's really happening here.
So that's good. I mean, I know that's what we all tell each other, but we know that the other side is telling a very different narrative really quickly. And even the courts are. So in Scrimeti, which was recently ruled on, one of the justices in making comments about in making comments during questioning, and I think this also came out in the it may have came out in the written judgment. I don't think it did, actually. It was more during questioning. I think that he asked why teenagers can't learn to appreciate their sex, appreciate their sex or appreciate their gender, is I think the way that they put it. I mean, what do you say when a chief justice, one of the most powerful people within our legislative legal system, uses language like that? I mean, to talk about making a ruling for teenagers that's going to be the law. And yeah, the foundation of that is that these people, these teenagers, need time to appreciate their sex. What do you say to something like that?
That's tough. I would say to the trans people, what better way to appreciate your sex or gender than by owning it, right? In the interview we did with the internal medicine researcher, she sat there and explained how sex is a spectrum and goes to show that everybody has masculine and feminine traits and genes. And the best way you can appreciate that is by owning it and owning who you really are. What do you say to a judge? I'm not in front of a judge. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I would say. It would take me time to really come up with what I would want to say. I'm cautious to not.
Chase Strangio did a good job.
Yeah, I'm cautious to not just jump into a conversation and just throw out whatever it is I'm feeling in the moment. I really try to take time to think about it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. What about, I mean, what's going on right now with undocumented people? The Immigration and Customs Enforcement just yesterday, of course, this will be further back in time by the time this airs, but in September, they said that any undocumented person now that is detained will no longer recognize any kind of gender nonconformity. I don't know what it means. It basically means that they're not going to recognize.
They're not
going to
provide gender care.
And, well, not just that. They're not going to acknowledge that transgender people exist at all in the process of detaining people. So it's not just that they won't give them care. It's also that they're going to put women in men's detention facilities, and they're not going to, do anything to support either any population that's gender variant. I mean, how do we as, you know, we're hearing this right now. This is the news we're hearing.
Yeah.
Who's fighting for our rights right now, and how are we going to challenge these incredibly onerous actions by the federal government? I mean, the federal government is specifically targeting us right now. How are we going to resist this and turn things around?
I guess that's the big question. Yeah. A lot of people don't feel like their vote really matters. Mm-hmm. Their votes do matter, and they need to do their due diligence in making sure that the people they're putting in office support and stand for what they believe in, yeah. Not just checking the check marks because it's got the right letter next to it. This lady running for governor that I'm bringing on tomorrow, I'm bringing her on specifically to ask these kind of questions of how are you going to make change? How are we going to make change? How can we make change? I think it starts in grassroots efforts because that's where the majority of people are, but it's more than just calling a senator because I don't know, truthfully, I don't know how much a senator actually listens to the email, you know, the calls and emails. I don't know, maybe they do.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it starts with electing the people. And so I would say your vote definitely matters, and being active is going to make a difference. Being active in talking with your community and sharing more than just memes, but sharing factual information and showing it.
Yeah.
That's really what I can think of right now.
Yeah. What do you have hope for? What gives you hope?
I believe one day trans people will be accepted, and it won't be that there's a trans man or a trans woman or a non-binary individual. It'll just be, there is Joe down the street, and Joe's a wonderful person, and there's Sherry, and Sherry, we love Sherry. She makes brownies. I believe one day that'll be there. Racism was something that wasn't won overnight, and it's still a fight going on, but they, by far, Black people have more rights than they did.
Yeah.
I believe that the young generations are the ones that are leading the right movements, and they're the ones to follow because they see bullcrap that other people are shedding. And I hope that one day people will just be accepted for who they are.
Yeah, yeah. What is the... So, you are female, so let me ask you, what's the best thing about being female? Or alternatively, what's the best thing about having been...
You have a chest now. I don't know. There's so many things. There's so much different forms of euphoria. You get to be in a different club. You know, the girls go off to have their time and you get to be with the girls. You know, that's so much fun and exciting. I had a growth that happened under my arm, and I went down to the doctor to go see what was going on. And they go, well, we can cut it out or just give you antibiotics. And I go, it scares me. Just cut it out, please. And he goes, well, we can do, we'll have to... What do they call that with the ultrasound? We're going to have to ultrasound it. And I go, yes, please. I want the ultrasound. So he does it. And, you know, I'm like, is it a boy or a girl? He says, well, it's a little too early to tell, you know, and just the different euphoria that comes in from all these little events is fun. I don't know. It just, there's so much joy with it. You get to see you. You get to see you. When I officially came out and I started doing the dressing full time and the makeup full time, I looked in the mirror one day and there was that beautiful girl that I saw back when I was 20, and I go, there you are, you know, and moments like that are so special.
Yeah
I just get joy out of all this stuff.
No, that's really nice.
Yeah
That's great. That's definitely great. Looking ahead, what What do you see for your future?
I see this being my future.
Yeah.
I do. I see myself just becoming a strong advocate for people in marginalized communities, and just being that person that won't stand up against any hate.
Oh, gosh, that's just so beautiful. Yeah. That's just so beautiful. We're talking today, we've been talking with Daphne Lane from Transplaining. If you give me just a minute, Daphne, here, I just want to use this time to talk about why KABU is such an important space for doing these kind of conversations and how you can support KABU. I think we're at the end of our pledge drive season, but I just want to remind people that if you'd like to, you can make a you can give to KABU. If you'd like, you can go to kboo.fm/give, and you can definitely look for us there. You can also donate securely online via phone at 877-500-5266, or again, you know, you can donate at kboo.fm/give. You know, these conversations like what we're having right now with Daphne Lane from Transplaining are a great example of KABU really serving its mission of lifting up underserved voices. I mean, you can hear what an amazing difference this kind of a story makes to being informed about gender issues and about gender identity. You know, the Trump administration has been working to take away the resources of public broadcasting. They've taken away all funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and that's affected KABU and our mission. We've lost, I think, almost $130,000 over a two-year period now because we won't be eligible for those CPB grants anymore. And so that's why your support of KABU counts now more than ever. So again, if you can, come to kboo.fm/give and donate. So is there anything that we didn't touch on, Daphne, that you wanted to make sure to get in?
No, I think it went well. Again, if people just, if they can go like, subscribe, share, because again, sharing is going to help increase information and knowledge. Yeah, just spread the word.
Great. And where, again, can they find your podcast?
Yeah, they can go online, transplainingpodcast.com. They can find us. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. They can also find us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcast, Spotify. We're on Podbean, I think. We're on all of the socials.
Fantastic. Well, it's just been such a pleasure having you on Transpositive.
Yeah, thank you.
And down here at the station. So it's really nice to meet you, and I'm just so thrilled with your success.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Sequoia Ezekwe for Ear to the Streets of Portland on the best community radio station on the planet, KBOO Community Radio, KBOO Portland.